Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit.
Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one else above you? Fill my heart with gladness. Take away all my sadness. Ease my troubles, that's what you do. For the morning sun and all its glory greets a day with hope and comfort too. You fill my life with laughter, and somehow you make it better. Ease my troubles, that's what you do. There's a love that's divine, and it's yours and it's mine. And at the end of the day, we should give thanks and pray to the one, to the one. Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one else above you? You fill my heart with gladness. Take away all my sadness. Ease my troubles, that's what you do.
Let's give that a round of applause. I mean, that is just so awesome. Awesome. Clarissa Martinez. That is so awesome. We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit with three of my all-time favorite people, Father Ethan Southern, who is at Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Santa Clarita. Welcome back, Father.
Thank you, Deacon. It's great to see you, and we thank you for having us today.
And Diane Corbett, welcome back.
Thank you.
An evangelist, and they're all part of Beloved. And, of course, Clarissa Martinez, who just sang this beautiful song. Tell us about the song.
Oh. It's a daily message that God keeps saying to us, not even daily, but minute by minute by minute. It's almost like he's saying, hey, Diane, have I told you lately that I love you?
Have I told you lately that I love you? And God loves us passionately, my brothers and sisters. And the message of today is about evangelization and you. Boy, that's a scary word for a lot of Catholics. You know, evangelization, what's that mean? Well, it means good news. Mm-hmm. Think about it for a second. This is the way I like to express it. Think about something wonderful that happened to you. Your marriage, the birth of a child, you got a raise, you got a promotion, something good happened, and this, that, whatever. And you, do you want to share it with people? Do you want to share something that's really awesome that happened to you with other people, with your friends? You know, you absolutely do. Well, what is more awesome than Jesus Christ and what he has done for us? We see in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, Jesus. So whoever believes in him will have eternal life. What is more awesome than that? To have a Savior who loves us unconditionally, who died on the cross and rose again, who took upon our sinfulness upon him that we may have eternal salvation. Hallelujah! Is that not good news? I mean, what is more exciting than that, Father?
I can't think of anything more exciting, and I'm still stuck on the song. There's a line in it that says, there's a love that's divine, and it's yours and it's mine, like the sun. And that love, it is divine, and that is who God is, and that is evangelization. We're being drawn into that love, into that Trinitarian relationship, a love affair between the Father and the Son. And here Jesus is saying, he's saying, it's yours and it's mine. He's inviting us into that. And that's the evangelization, is that we continue to share that love. And at the end of the day, we should give thanks and pray to the one who continues, like Clarissa says, to tell us every moment of how loved we are.
And I think it makes it less scary. The evangelization makes it less scary, because now it's not just me coming out there. It's yours and it's mine.
Amen. Amen. And Diane, there's so many people out on the streets and so many people everywhere. They've never really heard the message that God loves them unconditionally. They think of a God, if God exists at all, then, you know, he's going to judge me and he's going to cast me out as something that's evil and sinful. And, you know, God doesn't love me and God's abandoned me and all these lies that aren't true. And they need to hear the truth.
Yeah, the truth is that he wants to be in that with you. You come as you are. What I discovered is that he came to me in all of the woundedness. That's where he wanted to enter. So we don't have to hide. We don't have to put it aside or pretend like it wasn't there. As a matter of fact, just come wide open, because that's where you're going to find him. So to think that you can't come before the Lord because you have all these things that are keeping you from him is an absolute lie from the devil.
Amen. And my brothers and sisters, know the fact that no matter what you've done, God has forgiven you. No matter what you have done, God is waiting for you with open arms.
As soon as you said that, I'm just getting a vision of God, you know, as the Father, and that's who he is. He's a loving Father, and he has open arms. Just imagine, you know, us, you know, running through a park with our daddy, and he comes down and he bends down on a knee with open arms, and he's ready to receive us and just give us a big hug and tell us, you know, how great we are, and pick us up. Do you ever get that image, like your dad picks you up above his head and kind of like spins you around like you're flying? That's, you know, that's the truth. That's who we are. And he lifts us up above, you know, our messes, and he can't help do anything but look at us and just beam, and just with adoration. God just adores us like there's nothing else. He peers into us, into our eyes, and he just sees a perfection, because God made us. So what else could he see but the goodness and the holiness and the dignity of who we are?
And with that image of that Father and Son, a lot of times when you look at it, we always look at, oh, look how the child loves the Heavenly Father. But we never really kind of took the time to see, like, oh, how much the Father loves the child. You know, that's what that song was about. It was the Heavenly Father saying, you fill my heart with gladness. You fill my heart with gladness. You take away my loneliness. Here I am. No, but here you are. You're easing my loneliness away because of your love.
I was going on a trip back to Delaware, where my family lives, my parents live, for Christmas. And I was asking my dad, I said, well, Dad, what would you like for Christmas? And he's speechless. He says, son, he says, nothing could compare with you being home. He says, what else could you give me? He says, it doesn't matter. He says, you fill my heart with gladness. And that's how, that's how God is with us. You know, he just wants to be with us.
My brothers and sisters, I want you to turn to Luke 15, or in your smartphone, or just record it in your mind to go look at it at a later time. But I want you to read at least three times the parable of the lost son, the parable in which one of the sons said, basically, give me all that's coming to me because I'm leaving. I'm leaving, and I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. What did the father do? Despite the fact that the son said, I no longer want to be called your son. I don't want to have anything to do with you. The father is waiting, looking at the horizon, and running and greeting the son who disowned him. Totally unconditional love, which is so, so critical to understand that that is what God does for us. He's waiting for us to come to him. He loves us with that level of passion.
And in that parable, the father couldn't even wait for the son to come to him. He ran. He ran to him. And so he runs and he's running to us. That's one of my favorite images is the divine mercy. And in the image of divine mercy, you see Jesus walking. He's walking. He's running towards us. He can't wait to be with us. He can't get enough of us.
He wants us to know that we're not our sin. We're not our sin.
Awesome.
He loves us for what he created us to be. And that's how he sees us. We need to remember that we are not sin. We are not sin.
He died for that sin, and he died and wiped it clean. He forgot it completely. So if you forget nothing else about this show, remember this. He has forgotten your sin. When you go to heaven and you meet with him, don't remind him. The reality is, my brothers and sisters, we can't even imagine how wonderful heaven is waiting for us. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can comprehend what God has prepared for us. And, you know, you look at that parable, the prodigal son, you look at that parable in which he had that fatted calf, he had the banquet, he had everything. That's what Jesus does when we turn to him. He gives us through the gift of reconciliation. He gives us through the sacraments, through the Eucharist. He gives us this outpouring of grace as we say yes to him.
He can't wait. So that son had taken, you know, how many resources and squandered them. And then he comes back. And then here the father is. He's taking even more resources. He says, I don't care. He says, you're here. Let's, you know, light up the fire and the barbecue and let's have a party because, you know, that son of mine who was lost, you know, is here and I can't have enough.
And, you know, as a mother, there's nothing my kids could do to make me stop loving them. Nothing. And that's how God sees us. We're his children. There's nothing that we could do that will stop his love.
My brothers and sisters, we're in the Gospel of Luke right now and in Luke 15 about the prodigal son. But if you flip a couple chapters back to Luke 11, it says that we who are wicked, who know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father give us the Holy Spirit and good gifts? How much more will the Father pour out love upon us? We can't compare with our love. We cannot compare, but what evangelization is all about at its core message is letting people know that they're loved, that they are beloved, that they are beloved.
And with that knowledge of being loved, Diane, could you share just a little bit about...
When we come right back, Diane's going to share about this. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're going to be right back.
Private Catholic schools engage and develop all aspects of our students' curiosity. Beyond truly excellent education in core academic areas, Catholic schools have a full offering in the arts, visual, performance, and music. Each school has a full spectrum of education and development in the arts. Several schools feature full orchestra, dance, band, and many other highly specialized programs. Learn more. Visit OCCatholicSchoolsWeek.com.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to OCCatholic.com/travel.
It's Deacon Steve Greco. We are back on Empowered by the Spirit. We've been talking about evangelization in you, how much God loves you. We were talking about that prodigal son and how the Father gives us great gifts.
And stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of a love in the dead of night. You tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect. Love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
Wow, wow. Praise the Lord. Clarissa, it's just, I could hear that over and over and over again. Because it's so soothing about how much God loves us unconditionally.
Yeah, this is God's song. I mean, we sing about God the Father and how good he is, but I think this is his song to us. He's saying, how can I deny you of my love? I'm breathless beyond belief of how I created you to be love and to be my love. And he delights in that when he sees us. To see how we are loved. And we sing to him that you are perfect, Lord. But he's saying, well, look how perfect you are. Because you are my creation. You're my son and my daughter. You hold a place in my heart. And how perfect are you in all of your ways because of his own perfectness.
My brothers and sisters, he has made us perfect, which means well made in the Greek. He has made us holy. Take a look at the first chapter of Ephesians, it says that before the dawn of time, we were created to be holy and spotless. We were created to be his adopted children. We were created to love. And Father, you were going to ask Diane a question related to that love.
Yes. When we were speaking of God as the Father and the Creator and the life giver, the life bearer, and Diane had shared just a little bit about what it's like as a mother, you know, just having a child. And I was just, you know, here we are. You've had three children, and what is that like? You've actually given life to three others. And, you know, I'm just thinking, well, could they ever do anything wrong? Or could they ever do anything to lose their love, or when they're thinking that they're not good enough? What's going through your mind?
Well, definitely they can do things wrong. But it doesn't stop me from loving them. I go back to when they were born, you know, that anticipated time of being pregnant for 9 months, and then that moment that they have arrived, it takes your breath away, because you wait for them to inhale that first breath, to take that first breath, and like it's almost like time stands still for a moment, and you don't want to go anywhere. You just want that moment to last forever, and you're holding them in your arms, and you just, you'll never forget that. And whenever I look at my children, I remember those moments of giving birth to them. And if I could just stay in that moment, I could imagine that's how God the Father loves us.
Wow.
Amen. Amen. Let's take a look at the first chapter of Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet for the nations, I appointed you. My brothers and sisters, before the dawn of time, you were known by Jesus, by God. You were known and loved. You were given the gift of life. You were born to love and born to be loved, which is so, so important. But we live in a world that has been fallen, but Jesus there has conquered the world, so we need not be afraid. But we live in a world in which we need a Savior. We need Jesus. And we need forgiveness. And one of the areas that I want to get into is how important reconciliation is as part of the evangelization journey, because I believe that this gift of the sacrament of reconciliation is one of the most important gifts that the Catholic Church has, that Jesus provided through the priesthood. My brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many years it's been. It doesn't matter. Maybe you've never gone to reconciliation. God is calling you. Come see Father Ethan. You know, Father Ethan is so gentle and kind, and there's so many other priests that are so gentle and kind. You don't need to fear. And so many people are afraid to go to reconciliation. They're embarrassed.
It's funny. There's just something, so being so vulnerable and opening up, I still get a little nervous. I still get butterflies in my stomach when I go to confession, and I try to go every week. But the truth is, the compassion and the love of God is so overwhelming. As a confessor, I feel two things. One is, it's almost like the sin is an excuse. When whoever comes through the door, it doesn't matter what sin has been committed, you know, what they're bringing. It's like, okay, yeah, let's get through this. Because I feel the Father's love so much. He just wants to embrace his child. And so it's, okay, well, the sin is just something that you're bringing just so you can come close to be embraced. And not to say that there isn't, you know, sin and it's harmful. But the reality is the love of the Father, he just cannot wait to be with us. And that's the reconciliation. It's the Father is the one who is reconciling. He reconciled the world to himself through his son Jesus, through the blood of the cross. And then the second thing that I experience in confession is whenever someone's leaving, I just have this uncontrollable desire to give hope and to give life. And so whenever someone leaves, I want them to be so filled with joy and radiate that goodness of God as they go out. I have this desire to see them floating out in love.
Diane, so many people are afraid to go to the church, reconciliation, Eucharist, return to the church because they feel like they're just so ashamed. You know, reconciliation is such an important part of the journey, though, because all of us are weak. All of us fall short of the mark, but we need to be healed and need to be renewed over and over and over again. Your thoughts on this?
Well, my experience with confession is, you know, I feel like God the Father is just waiting there for me to give him all this dirt that I have, so that I could be loved, so that I could be embraced, like Father Ethan was saying. But really, to just hold on to that stuff just keeps us from Christ, and he just wants us to let it go. So if you just walk in and you know, you don't feel like you could be forgiven, it's not about that. It's about, can you be loved? Yes, you can be loved. You go into confession so that Christ can love you. You are forgiven. Always. You're always forgiven. There's nothing that can surprise Christ, because he sees it all. He knows. But the good part is that he's just waiting for us to come in so he can embrace us.
Amen. Amen. If we think about reality of where we are, my brothers and sisters, you know, we see in Scripture that Jesus, God, wants us to have solid food, not milk. He wants us to really have that knowledge, the knowledge of truth, the truth that will set us free. And Clarissa, a big part of that knowledge of truth is that we are in a spiritual warfare. There's an enemy out there that wants to defeat us and wants to defeat our purpose in life. You know, he can't take our soul, but what he can do is kind of confuse us so that we don't live out our purpose of what God wants us to do, which is to build up the church, to love God with all our heart, soul, might, and strength, our neighbors, ourselves, to make a difference. And so we get numbed, we get immobilized, and reconciliation helps us get out of that.
And God keeps saying, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, you know, like, let not fear overcome you and stop you from coming to the Heavenly Father, because God himself will fight for you. God himself will come before you and say, well, all of the things that's happening out there in the world, all of the darkness that's overcoming your life, God says, I will fight for you. And all you have is to keep still. Just be still and let me be your God. Let me be the one to nurture you and to care for you and to protect you and to hold you and nurse you. You know, that's what the Heavenly Father is dying to show us, that love unconditional that the Heavenly Father has, like a mother has for a baby.
My brothers and sisters, maybe you're embarrassed. Maybe you don't want to go to that priest, you know the priest and so forth, and you go out of your way to try to find someone that doesn't know you or can barely speak English, let's say, if you're speaking English, or whatever it might be. But the reality is that priest is waiting with open arms, not to judge you, but to love you and to be that personification of God's love. We're going to come right back to talk about the situation in which maybe you feel like you're just embarrassed because you keep confessing the same sins over and over and over again, and it prevents you from going back because you don't want to let the priest know that you still have that same problem. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. God loves you passionately, and that is the good news. We'll be right back.
Chart-topping worship vocalist Matt Maher will perform at Christ Cathedral on February 10th as part of his Echoes of Worship tour. Don't miss Matt Maher performing at one of the most incredible, beautiful, and inspiring locations in the country, Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. Get your tickets today at transparentproductions.com. That's transparentproductions.com.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Powered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope here in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And we're talking about evangelization and you, and we've been talking about forgiveness and reconciliation, because that's a cornerstone of what the good news is all about, is that Jesus has died on the cross, rose again, so that we may have eternal salvation. He has forgiven us. We need to forgive ourselves, but we need to go to the sacrament of reconciliation in order to receive the graces to build us up. And before the break, we were just talking a little bit about how sometimes we feel like not going because we're embarrassed. We may know the priest. We may feel like we're doing the same sin over and over again. How come we can't get past it? But I'll say this, that there was a priest one time that really gave me a lot of hope. And I think he knew that I was just, oh, yeah, here we go again. And he just said to me, little by little, little by little. And that really meant a lot to me.
Yeah, little by little, that's the best way. Baby steps, that's how Jesus walks, is with baby steps. And then you were just talking about, you know, the embarrassment of going to confession and, you know, well, I know the priest. Well, there was this one time recently where I was getting ready to go with a priest friend on like a priest day of recollection with a group of friends. And so I was anticipating he was going to come to me, and we were going to carpool down to the house of prayer. And I was anticipating that he would be a little bit later. And so then I thought, okay, things had shifted a little bit. And so then I'm thinking, okay, well, I've got maybe a half an hour until he's here. And so I'm, you know, trying to cram in the rest of my day and have my own little private time before I go. My day was shifted a little bit. And so I wanted to get something to eat. And my priest friend, he's a healthy guy, so he likes to eat salads and all that kind of stuff. And I'm a pretty healthy guy too, but in this day, I just wanted, there was just something inside me. I was hungry and I wanted to have my own little thing. And so I'm thinking like, okay, well, the plans changed. And I was, are you thinking of going out to a restaurant and having like my nice little meal, you know, just to myself? Thinking, all right, well, I don't have that much time. So where can I go where I can get something to eat really quickly that is going to be good? I thought, oh, pizza. I'm going to go get some pizza. And so I rush over to the little local pizza restaurant and I go in and I'm just going to sit down and just kind of eat some pizza and have my own nice little bubble to myself. I mean, the bubble on the pizza, I was hoping there would be bubble there, but my own little social bubble as well. So as soon as I put the order in, I'm getting ready to wait for the pizza. And then the phone rings and my priest friend says, hey, Father Ethan, I'm here. We're down at the Starbucks. Where are you? And I just said, well, I'll be there in about 5 minutes. And I'm like, man, my little bubble popped. So I'm thinking, okay, give me the pizza to go. And I'm just making a plan. I'm going to eat it on the car ride. Now, that was my plan, and I was going to be safe. I wasn't going to, you know, be dangerous. But so I get in the car, and I'm driving down, and, you know, I got maybe 4 minutes to go. And I go to eat the pizza. And it's really hot. And it's like the cheese is like melting. And I'm thinking like, oh, man, two things are going to happen. I'm either going to burn my mouth or I'm going to spill the pizza and it's going to spill cheese everywhere, sauce everywhere.
You want your cheese pizza.
Because I want my cheese pizza and mushroom, two slices and an iced tea. So then, okay, now I'm shifting to plan two. And I'm too embarrassed because my friend eats salads. So I could have just invited him over. Hey, why don't you come have some pizza at the restaurant? But no, I'm trying to like pretend and like hide my little junk food. So plan two. Okay, now I'm driving down the road and, you know, all the beloved movement and, you know, our common homelessness and our brokenness. I'm not just going to throw the food away. So I'm looking for someone that I could give the food to. So I'm looking, all right, looking by like the bus stop, looking by the park bench. Who can I give this pizza to? Nobody. Nobody's there. So I'm getting closer, closer, closer. And I'm thinking, oh, man, he's going to come in the car. He's going to see the pizza and blah, blah. Oh, I know where to go. 7-Eleven. There's always somebody by 7-Eleven. So I pull up to the 7-Eleven, and there was no one there. So I think, okay, well, what am I going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to leave the food. They have like a little, there's a trash can. Now I don't leave the pizza on the trash can. I leave it right next to it. There's like a little candy machine right next to it. It's in a box. It's safe. So I thought, okay, I'll just leave the pizza here. I place it on the candy machine, and I said a little prayer for the poor soul that would be hungry that would come and eat the pizza. And I hop in the car and I drive across the street to Starbucks and I meet my friend and pretend like everything's fine. So then, you know, we're running and we're going to do some errands, and he wanted to pick up some things before we went to the house of prayer. And so he goes to the grocery store and I do an errand, and we come back, we get in the car, and he's like, "Oh, Father Ethan, look what I got." And he starts showing me all the things in his bag. And what does he have? He's got, you know, like lettuce. He's got all the salad stuff, lettuce and bean sprouts, like, you know, beans and cheese dip, all this stuff. So inside, this is just like weighing on me. This is weighing on me. And I know I need to go to confession. And I was already thinking like, well, what priest am I going to go to confession to at the house of prayer? You know, who? And then I'm just thinking like, well, who can I tell this story to? And so I'm embarrassed because this was the guy I was hiding it from. And I just said, you know what? I don't even care. So I just said, "Father, can I go to confession?" And he says, "Okay, sure." So we sit down and I start sharing about my embarrassment and, you know, my gluttony, my gluttonous spirit, and, you know, my hunger and selfishness and all of this stuff. And so I tell him about the pizza. And so then, and I tell him that I leave the pizza, and he stops me mid confession and he says, "What, do you think the pizza's still there?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. It probably is." And he says, "Oh, okay. Well, I'm kind of hungry." He said, you said there's mushroom and cheese? I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, let's hurry up." And so he finished the confession. He gives me absolution, and we start hightailing it down to 7-Eleven. We get to 7-Eleven, and we pull up. And sure enough, there's the pizza. It's still there. And so he's super excited. And so, we come out and we open the box and the pizza's still there. So we go back into the car and then we break the pizza. It's like, you know, we're breaking bread. We're breaking pizza. And he takes half the mushroom and I take the other half. He takes half the cheese and I take the other half. And my hands are all like greasy and it's perfect. The pizza's perfect. It wasn't too hot. It had cooled down, and so we eat the pizza, and then we wash down the pizza with iced tea. And then he says to me, he says, "Well, you know, Father Ethan," he said, you said that you said a blessing for this food, right?" And I said, "I did." And he says, "Well, now you're doubly blessed." And I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, you said a blessing, and you gave the food away." And he says, "And you received a blessing because you were that poor soul that was hungry that..." They got to eat the pizza.
Amen.
And then actually I figured out I got a triple blessing because I shared the pizza. So I shared my food. So I got a blessing for giving the food away. I got a blessing for being the guy who was hungry and came to eat the food. And then I got a blessing for sharing the food. So that was probably the best confession I went to. I was really embarrassed. But somehow God took it all. You know, I got absolution, I got grace, I got a triple blessing, and I had a full stomach.
And sometimes we're so afraid to, like, you know, go to our Heavenly Father for that forgiveness and to go to confession because we think that, you know, our Heavenly Father is going to say, "Oh, shame on you," you know. But here you are. Here's the Father that says, "Well, can I share that pizza with you?" You know, that's our Heavenly Father saying, "Come on now, you know I love you that much."
No one can outdo God's generosity, my brothers and sisters. No one can outdo God's love. And you may think that, again, you've done these horrible things, but look what happened there, you know. Hey, you know, maybe not so bad, you know, it's still there.
It's still there,
you know, and I'm sure it tasted even better.
It was, that was the best pizza I've ever had.
It was so, but your heart was clean, you know, your heart was clean. And that's the amazing thing, is that God wants to clean you and make you whiter than snow. God wants to fill you with His love, fill you with His grace.
Staring into your eyes makes my heart come alive. Suddenly brought to life when I met you. Reaching beyond the skies, running deep, stretching wide. Perfect love realized here with love is for real. You will never let go, never let go. And it's more than just words, love beyond my control, out of control. This is real love. This is real love. You're pulling me closer and closer, holding my heart till the very end. Jesus, I'm found in your freedom. For this is real love. This is real love. You're pulling me closer and closer, holding my heart till the very end. Jesus, I'm found in your freedom. This is real love. This is real love. You're pulling me closer and closer, holding my heart till the very end. Jesus, I'm found in your freedom. This is real love. This is real love. In your heart, I am found. I want you. I want you. You won't let me down. You've got me. You've got me. Staring into your eyes makes my heart come alive. Suddenly brought to life when I met you.
My brothers and sisters, Jesus loves you exactly where you are. It is time. It is time to return to him. It is time to come back to him. Picture the Father with open arms. Jesus with open arms saying, come, come to me. I love you exactly where you are. Come to me. I have healed you. I have given you my Holy Spirit. I've given you my forgiveness and my love. Come to me. Let me heal you. Let me fill you with my love. Let me fill you with my goodness. My brothers and sisters, as we begin this new year, it is time. It is time to begin with a year of saying yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Yes to your forgiveness. Yes to your love. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to come back and talk more about the good news of Jesus Christ, evangelization, and you.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Grecker. We're back on Powered by the Spirit, and we've been so blessed again to have three incredible people. Father Ethan Southern, who is a priest at Our Lady of Perpetual Health in Santa Clarita. They're all part of Beloved Ministry. Clarissa Martinez, who has a voice like an angel, shall we say. And Diane Corlett, evangelist, someone who has really felt the forgiveness of the Lord. And we're talking about this whole concept of evangelization. And the whole purpose of evangelization is to be set free, free from our bondage, free from our sinfulness, to understand how much God loves us. You, Diane, have been working with many people entering the church through RCIA. And what makes it so important for them to join the church? Is it this big leap for them to understand that God is calling them and God loves them unconditionally, and to be part of something in which we don't have to prove ourselves every day, we just have to say yes to God?
Yeah, I think RCIA is really just discovering who you were created to be. So when they come into RCIA, they come in to discover the truth of who they are. So it's a really beautiful mission to be part of that. I myself went through RCIA, and it was amazing to discover the truths about the Catholic Church, but most of all, the truth about yourself and who we are as the church. So yeah, it's an amazing thing.
One of the things I love to do is be part of the baptism, the rite of baptism as a deacon. And, you know, obviously the water and everything's always fun, but is that second oil, the sacred chrism that, you know, with, say, you know, babies and so forth, you anoint on the crown of their head to be priest, prophet, and king. It's so important to me that I give that message to whoever's there to say, really, at the moment of baptism, we are anointed to be a prophet, to be an evangelist, to be part of God's kingdom, to be a priest in which we're sharing the good news, we're sacrificing and so forth. But, you know, we were born to be sharing the good news, Father.
That's right. That's our identity. And I love after the, especially with the babies, you know, going through the water, and it's traumatic. The water washes away the sins, but there's a death that's involved. And you can see that, you know, in the faces of the babies. They're just so shaken many times. And then to be able to come back and then to anoint with the sacred chrism oil over the crown of the head. And there's a warmth that envelops the child, and there's just a sweet smell of realizing who we are. And it's that gift, as Diane has shared before, it's the gift of grace that's being given, and it's undeserved, but that is who God is. He's giving this undeserved gift to us, and it's the gift of life. And so we're actually being brought into the Trinitarian life, that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit shares. And so it's actually a new life that's coming up. And as you were sharing before about the beauty of the Easter Vigil, when the baptisms are happening and there's the water, there's also fire. And there is a fire burning. There's just this beautiful Paschal candle, the Paschal flame, which burns so brightly. And it burns away. It's signifying, you know, the death, but it's also that new life which radiates out and shines through the dark. And it transforms all of the sadness and the brokenness and the hopelessness of our world. And it brings back that new resurrected life of Christ that cannot be quenched. And it just burns so brightly.
Our brothers and sisters, from Vatican II, we see this renewed emphasis on evangelization. Saint Pope John Paul II called evangelization the supreme duty of the church and everyone in it. We see this in Pope Benedict, in which Pope Benedict called together the bishops to talk about this new evangelization. What's the difference between the new evangelization and the old evangelization? Well, the old evangelization was felt to be more like a mission which people will be sent out. The new evangelization is evangelizing people maybe who have left the church, people in the pews next to you. Everyone, everywhere you go to the grocery store, you go to wherever, you're on an airplane, you talk about Jesus to them as best you can. You bring the love of God to them. For many people, they say, well, I don't know how to do this, and I'm not trained how to do this. But Clarissa, it's really about telling your story, you know, telling you're a fifth gospel, So it is about telling the story about why you believe.
And I think, you know, going back to the song that we had when we started the show, it's about, you know, maybe we could print out T-shirts for ourselves and wear it every day to say, have I told you lately? You know, that's new evangelization right there. It's all about just, you're right, like being who we are, to be a beloved by God, to be a beloved is our mission. To go out there on a mission is to just be the beloved of God, to say, have I told you that God loves you so much and that you are love and that you are loved also just as I am? Because all of us, by baptism, priests, prophets, and king, are all part of the children of God, and we are loved and sons and daughters of God, Father.
Diane, it's so much easier for most of us, if not all of us, but certainly most of us, to believe that God loves everyone else but us. It's so easy for us to believe that, oh yeah, I know God loves them, but me, well, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I felt like that most of my life. I felt like I was unloved, which obviously was the lie. But, you know, going that many years, you become what you practice, which is being unloved. So you become unloved. But as the new evangelization comes along, we want to go out and tell the truth that no, you were created to be loved and to be loved.
We are created, my brothers and sisters, to be loved and to love. That is the message of evangelization.
You're my beloved, you're my bride. To sing over you is my delight.
Brothers and sisters, you are the beloved of God. You are His glorious children, His sons, His daughters. He loves you unconditionally, passionately. He has forgiven you. He died and rose again so that you may have eternal salvation. That message of hope, that message of love, that message of forgiveness Share that with your family, your friends, people you bump into at a store, wherever you're led by the Holy Spirit. There are people right now where you are the only Jesus they may ever see. You are maybe the only message that they'll ever hear. You have a purpose in life, and that purpose is to be the ambassador of Christ, to be the hope of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the message of Jesus. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes with all of your heart, and go forth and proclaim the gospel. Blessed are the feet of those that bring the good news of Jesus Christ. In Romans 10, your feet are blessed. You are blessed. And how can they hear? How can they know if they've not heard? How can they receive if it's not coming from us? And if it's not us, then who? My brothers and sisters, as we begin this new year, let us always remember that we have been forgiven and that we must be called to be instruments of His love, of His forgiveness, of His good news. Father, thank you for being on this show, and Clarissa and Diane. It's absolutely wonderful. And what final message do you have? And if you could then lead into a final prayer, it'd be great, Father.
Sure. I don't think we have to try too hard when we evangelize. As you were sharing, just something simple like a smile came to mind. So maybe this year we could just smile a little bit more, and we could receive a smile and share a smile. And Heavenly Father, you smiled down on us when you gave us your Son. And you've never stopped smiling, and your eyes have never stopped glowing out of love. You fill us with your Spirit, and you give us life. You give us joy. And we thank you. We thank you, dear Lord, for giving us joy so that we can be joyful, light, happy people. And in this year, we seek to share that joy with others, and not in an overburdened, overbearing way, but just a simple, gentle way that rises up and gives life to everyone. And so we ask for your blessing to come down upon us, and to everyone who's listening. We ask for your blessing to come down upon those who are burdened with worry and fear and anxiety, and anybody who's just doubting the fact that they're loved. We ask that you could love them in such a beautiful way that they could never doubt again. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you all and radiate through you always. Amen.
We'll be with you next week at the same time. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio. The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.